Peace, beautiful people. Come journey with me around the world as I shine a light on stories about music, community, and resistance. This is Excursions with Gina Arias. Cocaine, cartels, and coffee. These are probably what you think about when someone mentions Colombia. That's what you know. Here's what you might not know. If you've been to Cartagena, Colombia, you may have seen beautiful dark-skinned women, both young and old, in colorful ruffled dresses, carrying round metal containers on their heads from which they sell fruits and sweets. They are from San Basilio de Palenque. Palenque is a town about 35 miles from the port city of Cartagena that was established very early in the 1600s as the first free black town in the Americas, which is still in existence today. This maroon community, founded by escaped enslaved Africans, was so successful at freeing others that in 1691, the Spanish crown recognized its sovereignty and established a decree to respect it. In 2005, UNESCO declared Palenque to be a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity. My partner Fred Wanz and I were curious to see this place that sounded like an undiluted utopia of Black resistance in Latin America. After about an hour out of Cartagena, our driver Carlos turned off of the highway, and just a few minutes down a stretch of country road, we arrived in Palenque. I could see that my text to our contact, rapper and native son of Palenque, Afro Neto, had not gotten to him, so we couldn't reconfirm our time of arrival. But we figured in a somewhat remote town of almost 4,000 people, we could just go and ask about him. We headed directly to the main plaza in the center of town, surrounded by small concrete homes and businesses. In the plaza, we walked up to a bronze statue of Bencos Biojo, one of the founders of Palenque. His torso is jutting out of the top of a stone pillar facing east to Africa, one arm with broken shackles outstretched, reaching out to the motherland. Within minutes, a staff person from the nearby cultural center came to our assistance and led us directly to the home of the man we had come to see. Afro Neto is a community organizer, cultural ambassador, and leader of the music group Combilesa Mi. He described Palenque like this.
Palenque is a black town, proud of its African roots, defended by Africans. Here we have a monument to Bencos Biojo, who was a black man who rebelled against the highest authority, the big guns who thought they had enough power to keep us shackled. He and a group of men and women decided to no longer be enslaved. It's important to mention because it wasn't just men. There was Wiwa and her daughter, Orica. Women are always necessary to undertake a struggle and accomplish anything.
A little digging online, and I found out that Wiwa was Bencos Biojo's wife and Orica, their daughter. As Afro Neto alluded, without women, there would be no Palenque. But how exactly has Palenque survived for over 420 years? Part Wakanda, part historical treasure, what is Palenque really? Well, one thing it is a community without police. No Colombian police officers or armed forces operate in Palenque. The Palenqueros do not have, want, or need police in their community. They have what are called maroon guards.
The maroon guards are traditional police. They wear traditional Afrocentric uniforms. No, they don't have guns. Guns are used to oppress. Guns don't generate respect. Respect is earned through dialogue. They do have a baton, which confers them with power, and everyone knows that they are the authority here.
I was fascinated. For more than two decades, I've been involved in anti-police violence activism. And over the years, the idea of abolition of the police and our prison systems has gained more prominence, especially in light of the Black Lives Matter movement and the uprisings of 2020. I know most people wonder, how would a world without police even function? I mean, even the smallest of towns and villages in the United States have armed cops, or at the very least, an armed sheriff. To be honest, I was also curious how this works in real life. What about if someone is murdered in Palenque? What happens then?
When things like that happen, it's handled by the National Police with the Director of the Maroon Guards as the liaison. When the director sees the need for the National Police, he can call them. The director generates a dialogue. He doesn't want to beat you or have you beaten. He wants to lead a reconciliation. That's why the Maroon Guards aren't armed. Why use arms against your people? It's not necessary. That's why I believe, yes, police in a certain way generate order, but really, you order yourself. You understand? If you decide to walk a righteous path, police aren't needed. And Palenque has proven it. From our founding, we've been here without police. Sure, things like killings have happened here, but that doesn't mean that if we had police, those things wouldn't occur. Because if so, in places where there are police, nothing would ever happen.
There is no jail in Palenque, but in cases of serious crimes, the accused is taken to Cartagena or Barranquilla, big cities where there are prisons. So Palenque is not exactly a mecca of modern-day abolitionism, but still, it was refreshing to hear that they function without police. Afroneto and I talked about the community health posts that exist in Palenque, which provide basic first aid services. And we talked about the importance of traditional medicine, healers, and spiritualists that also serve and have for centuries been serving the people of Palenque in ways that Western medicine cannot.
They have a knowledge of prayers and blessings. For example, our daughter dances. Now, if someone were to give her the evil eye, she would cry and cry and not stop crying, even if you brought her to the health center, because that's not cured with injections or pills. That's helped with traditional medicine. So we would go to a traditional healer. Both men and women do this work, and the healer would say a prayer at the child's back or hands or do what they need to do, and suddenly the child would calm down.
For those who don't know, the concept of the evil eye is a belief found in many communities around the world that a curse causing injury or misfortune can be placed on a person via another person's malevolent glare. For purely physical injuries, there is no hospital yet in Palenque, but they're working on it. And when it is built, Afroneto says it will have a space dedicated for traditional healers so that community members can decide if they want to be treated by them or by conventional doctors and nurses.
Couture y rap guay, rap Palenque lo que hay.
Pero folclórico,
con Vilés a mí.
En la forma, Palenque Studio 2016.
We then turn to the subject of the music. The group that he leads, Con Vilés a mí, has a unique style known as RFP, which stands for Folkloric Palenquero Rap, that includes lyrics in Palenquero, a language unique to Palenque. Palenquero incorporates words and grammatical structures from Kigongo, one of the Bantu languages of Central Africa, and from European languages, primarily Spanish.
Our mission is to keep Palenquero alive. We have a project called Palenquero Language Lives Through the Music, because we realize that through the music, we can strengthen the language.
Strengthen it because, like many languages spoken by people who have survived colonization and enslavement, it has been at risk of disappearing.
The language suffered a period of strong discrimination and racism because a lot of people didn't understand or didn't know that it was a language with African origins. So then what happens? Many people said it was poorly spoken Spanish.
But as it happens, Palenquero is one of the 68 languages in use in Colombia. Most are indigenous languages, but one is another Creole language, that one English-based, in the Black community of San Andrés. Palenquero is considered to be the only Spanish-based Creole language in the world.
So a lot of people don't know that Palenquero is our own language. It originated from the necessity that Black men and women had to communicate with each other and plan their escapes so the oppressor wouldn't realize, or else they would be punished or even killed.
agresores no se dieran cuenta, porque claro, los mataban o los castigaban.
Since the 1980s, there has been a palenquero renaissance, if you will, so that the language would not be lost. Dictionaries have been written, and beginning in kindergarten, children are taught palenquero in school, along with English and Spanish.
And that's also why we use music as a tool. It's an appropriate vehicle because music reaches young people very easily.
But as Afroneto told us, the work of Combiles Ami extends beyond music. We were speaking to him at the group's headquarters, where in addition to a music studio, there is a space for community members and outsiders to come and learn about Palenque. Here, young people can get prepared for the harsh, anti-Black world that exists outside of the boundaries of this Afrocentric enclave.
I have a process with the boys and girls where we go over themes like our language, palenquero, our traditional dances, such as mapalé and cumbia, as well as the African aesthetic and hairstyles. My wife, Kaere, is a great hairstylist. We go over these themes with the youth so they can begin loving their culture from a young age. Because what happens is, when we go to Cartagena and Barranquilla with our hair, our skin color, our way of talking, we're faced with barriers. Here, you go to kindergarten, grade school, and high school. But for college, you have to go to Cartagena. And that's where you're faced with people who discriminate. And that's why we prepare the young people to let them know what they'll face, the things they have to do to be strong, and how to respond.
The music of Combiles Ami for sure moves both young and old alike. One Combiles Ami song that we heard before coming to Palenque made my eyes well up. As a teenager, I spent my summers in the home of my grandparents in the Dominican Republic and argued nonstop with folks about the absurdity of the term bad hair, accurately known as kinky hair or curly hair that is tightly coiled. And muchacha, tú no te vas a peinar, really just meant, aren't you going to straighten it? To appear more European, that is. And so the Combiles Ami song, Los Peinados, the hairstyles, had me in my feelings. The chorus goes, hairstyles are a form of expression that helped during enslavement. They drew the perfect path that brought blacks to liberation. The song is based on Palenque's oral history, which explains that key to the freedom for many Africans who escaped enslavement and made their way to Palenque were complex hair braiding patterns that were used to relay messages signaling an impending escape or as maps to identify landmarks charting the path to Palenque. This made me think of the other ways in which our ancestors survived by sheer wit and will and how hair played a role. Like in Suriname, where women were brought in heavy shackles from Africa with tiny seeds of okra and grains of rice hidden in braided hair so as to have a means of sustenance upon arrival to their unknown destinations. Palenque's connection to the motherland is very strong, and Afroneto shared the beliefs that some people in his hometown hold about Africa.
When someone from Palenque dies, their soul goes to rest in the afterlife, which for us is Africa. In other words, we bury the body here, but the soul travels to Africa. And that's why it's said that if you don't go to Africa in this lifetime, you do return in the afterlife.
Afroneto has, in this lifetime, made it back to the motherland. He went to Senegal to be part of a film on African instruments, and what happened there threw him for a loop.
The Africans I met refused to believe I was Colombian. They said to me,
"Where are you from, man?"
"I'm from Colombia."
"You're not Colombian."
"Yeah, from Colombia, Palenque."
"Nah, man, you Senegalese. You Senegalese."
Things got tense. They swore that I was Senegalese, but trying to pass myself off as Colombian. I had to take out my passport and ID just to prove that I was Colombian.
The people of Palenque draw on the strength and resistance of the ancestors. And in looking back, the youth in particular are also looking forward. Afroneto told me that many of them are working to change their given names and reclaim African ones.
Today, for example, I am Andres Padilla Julio, but I could have had the last name Luango or Lukumi, African last names that we know were changed. So since we're in this whole process of revindication and self-discovery, men and women have begun to rename themselves. I am in the process of doing that now. Tokungo will be my African name, because Tokungo means African son born outside of Africa. And that's the perfect name for me, because that is what I feel I am, an African born outside of Africa.
In New York, I know so many people, mainly in the hip-hop community, who have taken African names, including ones related to ancient Egyptian or Kemetic sources. The names are full of meaning. Afu-Ra, body of the life force. Kamau, quiet warrior. Kasi, to see all within self. And those are just a few people that I personally know. All of this reminded me of the highly creative names given to babies in both the African American community and in the Dominican Republic. For example, names created from combining elements of the parent's name, like Cari Alba. I have at least two cousins with names like that. Indeed, the commonalities and connections within the Black diaspora are plentiful and wonderful. After the interview wound down, Afroneto generously and unexpectedly spent more time with us, walking us around Palenque, pointing out important spots like the home of one of the traditional healers and a statue of another native son of Palenque, Colombia's first boxing champ, Antonio Cervantes, known as Kid Pambelé. Pambelé was a two-time world junior welterweight champion, and when he first claimed that title in 1972, the Colombian government asked him what he wanted for that honor. He requested one thing, that electricity be brought to Palenque. Some streets in Palenque are paved, some have yet to be paved. Several homes still had thatched roofs, but most were the type of small cement homes that you often see in Latin America and Africa. No one seemed in a hurried rush. Children played soccer out on dirt streets, while elders sat on porches, watching us closely and waving as we circulated around town, along with a stray goat and pig. We stopped at the cultural center, named after Graciela Salgado, who was an icon of Lumbalú, the music sung at funeral rituals in Palenque. We also paused at murals, painted on the sides of private homes, including one that said, "I love being black." We snapped a flick at that one, surrounded by regal palenqueras in brightly colored skirts. Our tour ended back at the plaza, which by now was bumping champeta and other Afro-Colombian music from several businesses. It was hard for her to hear us with the music at what felt like 120 decibels. But an elderly woman at one of the home-based businesses nearby sold us two bottles of ñeque, a clear Palenque moonshine, which we sipped on the road back to Cartagena. Fred Ones and I were amped as we left Palenque, and not just off of the ñeque. All of this deeply pro-black sentiment had us feeling inspired and on a natural high, but also reflecting on our experiences in the Dominican Republic with anti-blackness. Now things are changing in DR when it comes to this, and black pride and self-love is more and more evident. When the remix to Demasiado Negro, a hip-hop track celebrating blackness, created by Patógeno Musa and several other Dominican rappers, was released in 2020, it was something of a watershed moment. When I mentioned the song to Afroneto, he said he got goosebumps, quoted the lyrics, and told me that it's become an anthem for them in Palenque.
Cuando yo me muera, quiero despertar en Uganda. Ni la esclavitud pudo detener esta ganga. Yo sé, porque mi melanina no intimida.
The line he quoted says, "When I die, I want to wake up in Uganda. Not even slavery could hold back this squad." Oof, I got goosebumps too. I asked Afroneto what else could the world learn from Palenque.
For everyone, indigenous, white, biracial, mestizos, black, I want to tell them that Palenque is a town full of history, full of accomplishments, full of struggle. And despite all that we've been through, we've known how to resist. We've realized dreams and we've succeeded. The struggle is important. People must struggle. Sometimes people think that everything is lost and give up. But no, the call is to keep fighting and not surrender to adversity.
So to answer my initial question, how has Palenque survived, despite the adversity, for so long? I would say that this insistence on resistance is part of the reason. Tapping into the strength of the ancestors and African traditions, another key to its longevity. Palenque, with its fierce and unapologetic blackness, is indeed a masterpiece of the intangible and tangible heritage of humanity. San Basilio de Palenque, or Palenque de Bencos, on behalf of the world, we sincerely thank you for surviving and thriving. Our deepest gratitude to Calypsos, who connected us with Afroneto. Thanks as well to Calle Cardona, who linked us with Carlos, the driver who brought us to Palenque. Many thank yous to our voiceover actors, Baxter Words and Shadrach Adom. And last but not least, muchas, muchas gracias to Afroneto and his lovely wife and fellow Combilesami member, K.R. You can listen to Combilesami on their NPR Tiny Desk performance and access their music via all virtual platforms. On Instagram, follow at Combilesami and at Afroneto46. Music by Fred Ones, Combilesami, Sexteto Tabala, Las Alegres Ambulancias, Afu Ra, and Joe Roach. Music consulting from DJ Preservation. Audio engineering, sound design, and video editing by Fred Ones. This is a listener-sponsored program. We welcome you to join us in these efforts to tell our stories of music, community, and resistance by dropping some coins in the virtual hat via Zelle to onexcursions@gmail.com. That's onexcursions@gmail.com. Thank you in advance. This has been a Fred One Arts and Baby G production. Peace.